This is episode 11, You Versus You. It's your host, Dave Woods, coming at you on 1-1-1-2024. I'm loving that date. Little triplicate in there right there, that 1-1-1. It's a message that God loves you. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, right? So I never see that 1-1-1. It's a little love letter from God to you. All right. Triplicates aside, we're in the new year. Man, you got those New Year's resolutions going. I was a little bit disturbed this year, more so than ever, when almost every single person I talked to about the New Year's, just in small talk, was like, nope, no New Year's resolutions. Nah. And I'm like, okay, so what's going on? Like, you know, I think I'm still on some goals from a couple years ago, but I just need to relook at those. Oh, that's not bad. But I mean, that counts as a resolution. And just bringing that to the conversation right now, it's a moment where if you want to lose weight, you got to define it. You got to define that goal, right? So I just took it upon myself to make a summary. I wanted this episode to be a little bit of an update on what I've been doing, where I'm at, and then go through the summary of episodes 1 through 10, just to give everyone who might be listening for the first time a crash course in all of these episodes. And then we'll go from there. I got a lot of fun stuff to go over, right? All right. So at the end of the year, I had this episode about bulletproofing your holidays. And one of those suggestions was to do OMAD. And I did it. I was going to do it for the 30 days leading up to Christmas, ending on Christmas Eve. So it'd be pretty much, you know, Advent, a little bit before Advent, then going into the Christmas season, and then just feasting to the new year, regaining my composure and senses and resetting all the receptivity and to go into 2024. Well, it worked great for 19 days. And on the 19th day, I didn't feel so good, right? I got a little bit sick. I'm like, oh, I'll bounce back from this. A couple of days later, I was getting worse. And then by the grace of God, Marianne was like, hey, you look awful. You need to go to urgent care because I'm concerned about your health and well-being. So I went, and the doctor said, the reason why you can't eat and it hurts to eat is because your tonsils are practically touching and you have strep throat. So I was actually close to being on my deathbed. And so that kind of threw off everything. But leading up to that point, when I had weighed myself, I was at a record low of 232 pounds. And so I said, hey, there's something to this. Let me just get my composure back. Let me get my health back up, and then I'll go in it. And in the words of, well, I guess we don't really talk about yay anymore, but go ham on it, right? So the whole thing with OMAD that I didn't realize before doing some research and then talking it over with my lady was that OMAD is not the same thing for women that it is for men, because of, you know, the physiological differences, but deeper than that, because of menstruation and ovulation, right? So that's something that I never even considered because I'm a dude. But just for the female listeners, to proceed with caution if you were going to do OMAD, because you ladies require way more nutrients, and to replenish those micronutrients when it's time for your period and after your period, right? And that's, you know, mea culpa right there for not even considering it. So just take that with a grain of salt. And for the female listeners, do some research before you do OMAD, because that could lead to a host of issues that range in severity. So that's for you ladies. And the results were, it's very effective, right? So any type of extreme diet change will be effective, but remember to exercise some prudence also, and do the research, and then gauge how you feel and realize this is not forever. It's just for, it's just to jumpstart the system and then get ahead of the curve, break those old habits. You know, as we always say, you versus you, that old you, you put that put that person to rest, and you just made the new you, right? Hitting those goals and working on that vision of what you have going. So yeah, that's that. After I had recovered, I just feasted, and it was probably like New Year's Eve where I was like, whoa, okay, I need to scale back. I have not been going to the gym as regularly. I was probably there twice a week as opposed to 4 days or 5 days a week. I was like, oh, okay, it's not that bad. I'm still here. But when I weighed myself, I'm like, yep, that's that one, 240 pounds, right? That's that holiday weight. So the recap from bulletproofing the holidays, where I kind of have to put my foot in my mouth and take back some things, is to say, definitely embrace the holidays, right? You can't completely avoid everything, but there are definitely some things that you can do. But in terms of being able to take it in and not be ostracized by your family and friends and just, be that social outcast, indulge a little bit. And I think that's going to be my new mentality going into the holidays, saying, all right, I'm not going to go buck wild. All right, I still got things to do come January 1st. But what happens between, say, December 15th, maybe in the first week of December, because of parties and ugly sweater gatherings and the plethora of birthdays that happen too, is to say, all right, this is a brief respite. It's not a break. I still got these plans. Did I hit my goals? What can I do? Are there areas that I can adjust? Can I do intermittent fasting? I know it's a lot easier, well, at least for me, to not have breakfast and do the first meal around lunchtime or mid-afternoon. So that's manageable. That's even manageable on the holidays, right? Then the next thing would be just to embrace that there's going to be some changes going into the holidays and then after the holidays, and then reassessing that. That's what one of those last episodes was about, the failure versus recalibration, right? When you come back from the holidays, weigh in and then say, where are you now and where do you want to go? So for me, that was, roughly a 5-7 pound gain that was not anticipated. Well, I should say it was anticipated, but it wasn't beneficial in terms of working on the goal of going to maintaining 235, let alone working on 225. So I would, if I were you, or if you're brand new to listening, I would establish what that goal is and then go from there. If this is after that fitness journey and you hit your destination, for me that was 235, I'd say get back to that end goal of 235 and then reset, or set again a new goal. So mine's 225. And to break it up that way, it looks like this: lose the holiday weight and then get after that mountain of day in, day out, grinding with that routine, meal prepping, living that life, and then working towards it on a time scale. So the magic number I like to tell everyone, 8 weeks. Work on it for 8 weeks, look around to see where you're at, and then go from there. What else was there? Here's one. The caffeine caveat. Okay, so from the beginning of episode one to towards the end of the year, I had changed my stance on caffeine. Right? I was just going into it cold, no caffeine, but then started drinking coffee. And there was immediately, the dopamine spike and the caffeine rush that happens, that is a very necessary bolt. Well, I should say a necessary bolt for all intents and purposes of working out. But then the hard part was saying, you know what? I'm not going to do this again. I'm going to go back to that one principle of keeping the caffeine to a minimum. And immediately my stomach felt better. You know, I don't feel like I'm known to have GI issues, but it was definitely making my stomach way more acidic, and that was not conducive to happiness. So decided to go cold turkey on the coffee, not even scale it back, the coffee and the Red Bulls, and almost immediately started having caffeine withdrawals. So if any of y'all have not tried to detox from caffeine, I highly recommend it, only to reset the receptors in your brain for absorbing caffeine. And that's something that's necessary once a year if you're a regular caffeine imbiber. But when you do, just be warned that the first 2 weeks are awful, and then it tapers off. So it feels like a normal time whenever you drink coffee or your Red Bull, whatever it may be, is when your body says, hey, I really want one. And then when you don't do it, you get a migraine, like almost instantly. It's like someone flipping on a light switch. Oh, the answer is no to caffeine. This is what you get, migraine. Then over time, it starts to just taper off. And then right now, where currently as I'm sitting here, zero migraines. So beware. It's worthwhile in order to maximize the efficiency of caffeine that enters into your body, right? You know, at first someone drinks one cup of coffee, feels great, and then they need two, then they need a steady drip, right? Well, this is messing with the law of diminishing returns. So if you reset by doing that detox for a couple of weeks and then go back, you will experience that joy and satisfaction of having that first cup of coffee, whenever that was, the first time you ever had it, introduced it to your body. So that is a little backstory. And when I was drinking coffee regularly, I started drinking coffee in grad school. And after that, when I first heard about detoxing from caffeine, I immediately wanted to try it out and couldn't believe how hard it was. But very, very worthwhile. The next thing is to just really assess where you're at. What are the cards you're dealing with? What are the circumstances of your life? Are you expecting a child? What's the work situation like? You know, for better or for worse. What's the living situation like, better or for worse? Are you capable of doing 8 weeks with focused intensity? If you're not, ask yourself why, and how badly do you want that goal? The moment you say, I really desire bigger biceps, or a stronger core, or bigger legs, or I want to work on my bench press, right? That's the psyche telling, like verbalizing what the desire is. And so the next step from there would be to really bring that into focus by saying, oh, I want to be able to do a plank for 5 minutes, or 100 sit-ups without stopping. Well, that's perfect, because now you can make the plan and adjust it accordingly. If you need to work up to it, and you just try right now, how many sit-ups can you do? If it's 7, that's as many as you can do. Try and do 7 a day for a week, and then by the end of the week, I bet you can probably do 30. If you can only do 8, that's fine. You now reached a new level, and you can bring that intensity for the next week, and then go from there and see where you're at the end of 8 weeks. The body is very resilient, so you're gonna be shocked. You know, that's why I really love working with people who are new to the gym, or who have never worked out before. Because you can see some crazy results real fast, and then just use that force, that momentum, to go do something that you didn't think was possible. And that's the reason why I'm recording right now. It's losing 100 pounds opened up my mind to the realm of possibilities, and seeing that it's almost endless on what you can achieve if you just write it down, if you come up with a plan, if you make that commitment and then stick with it. Over time, becomes that second nature, that discipline. So yeah, definitely get after it. One thing that I really wanted to go deeper into, and all of these things can be separate episodes, are talking about the caloric range, like how many calories that you take in, because that might be something that a lot of people would not realize can severely impact you for the better or worse. Especially here in LA, you hear the terms micronutrients, but might not know what that is. Oh, I gotta watch my micros, my macros, right? So just for a brief overview, it would be the assumption already that you have numbered how many calories you're taking for the day, and then saying, where am I getting those calories from? So you want to, if we can get really deep in terms of saying, oh, how much calcium are you taking in? How much dextrose are you taking in? What's your carb to fat to protein intake? But I don't want to do that right now. The whole thing would be saying, if you're new to making a goal and then want to stick with it, and you plan on sticking it because you've made that resolution for 2024 that you're going to lose 10 pounds, this is a start. You would also want to say, you'd come to the realization that you need to be wary of the food that you take in. Going to any specific fast food joint and then restaurant regularly are going to severely impact your micros, right? Your macros, your caloric range. So this is where I know it's like, you know, the hazard of saying, oh, I don't want to count my calories. You need to at least see the range and be cognizant of what that range is, because a Shake Shack could easily bring you 2/3 of your caloric intake for one day, which would very much impact how you worked out and the results of what your workout could have been if you were in a surplus and ready to just burn calories. Well, you might have just broken even, and then if you did that regularly, you'd say, why don't I really see any improvement? I'm working out, crushing my workouts, but there's actually no results. Like, maybe the cardio has gone up, but body still looks the same and feels the same. It might come down to how many calories you're taking in against how many calories that you're burning. So that can happen to anyone at any point in their fitness journey. I just like to highlight it around the holidays, because that's when it's extenuating circumstances. But the only difference between actual extenuating circumstances and the holidays are it's on the calendar. So you know what's going to happen in 365 days, not a surprise, right? So now it's just being prepared for that. And one of those ways is meal prepping, having a great store of supplements, and knowing how you're being hydrated. If you meal prep, especially as a beginner, this can be a little bit tedious, but it gets easier once you do it and you've formed that habit. So the measurements and cups, what's actual size of a cup? What's a teaspoon? What's a tablespoon? Be as strict as possible the first couple of times, just so you know what you're working with. And then there's a little bit of a handicap. Maybe I should say a little bit of a more leeway if you're a little bit close. The scenario of talking with athletes or someone who's a professional bodybuilder, that's where it's way different. But someone who is newly resolved, or this is a hobby, those are different parameters to go by, right? The parameters for Michael Phelps when he was training, I think he's retired now, but training for the Olympics is astronomically different than my caloric needs, right? Just keep that in mind before you get real willy-nilly with meal prepping, right? This would be saying, okay, what's the veggie source, what's the carb source, what's the protein source. You have that, and when you have those all lined up, it's as easy as just grabbing the container of food from the fridge or making sure it's with you when you're on the road. This is something that, when done for 8 weeks, could put you in another echelon of fitness. And it's really from where the food was coming from, right? I know it's not that exciting, but the harsh reality of a fitness journey is it's really mundane. It's really habitual. Some might say humdrum. Not too exciting. And that's actually the beauty, and you know, it's the art and the science together of losing weight. So if you really want to shake things up, just change out your spices, right? Make your own sauces. There's plenty of things you can use just with olive oil, a little bit of garlic, and some honey, right? So that's now that I'm just hearing myself say this, this is a ton of information to be taking in the first time around. So I hope this doesn't burden anyone who is absolutely brand new, but this could be one of those moments where each episode can just be reviewed, and I'll try and keep it under an hour for every episode. I've got a little bit of feedback saying the episodes are very long. I don't know what to tell you. I guess put it on pause and break it up. Or if you like to watch or listen to 20-minute podcasts, you could treat this like a threefer, a little trilogy, right? No. That's that. All right. Oh, actually, let me touch on supplements again. The newest update in my world was putting in protein shakes again. And I had not done that since 2014, maybe 2015. So, you know, out of the gate, when I first started lifting weights when I was, I don't know, eighth grade, I was always shaking up a shaker, and I was, you know, GNC's number one fan, right? Probably put a lot of their kids through college just on protein supplements, right? But that, when I got a little bit older and did more research, I was like, you know what? I'm going to cut back on whey, because it's, you know, concentrated. It's a protein of milk that is, it's isolated, right? That's where that isolate comes from. And if you are a little bit lactose intolerant or sensitive to milk, sensitive to dairy, you might have some stomach problems. And that was one of the adverse effects of, I say adverse, yeah, effects. It was one of the adverse consequences of going keto. Right? It just changed up so much stuff that messed up my stomach. So I ditched the protein shaker habit and then just tried to get all the protein from the meat that I ate. I prided myself on it being a natural source, but then was not willing to accept that that's definitely not enough protein in my diet, in the life that I was living, to be really effective for muscle growth. So just from this new year of going back to having the chocolate, I love the chocolate protein powder. It's like, I feel like that's the only one that's truest to its source. And there are some really awesome improvements. It's crazy, you know, what was it called? They had like a strawberry shortcake one that was on point. They had like a hazelnut dulce de leche one. I was like, wow, this is insane. They had a birthday cake one. They had, you know, a banana split. And that's, till this day, the only one I don't really mess with. Even though we've made a lot of advancements in tech and science, someone needs to work out why they can't figure out the banana flavor. It always has like this chalky, spoiled Halloween candy taste. You name any of those candies, right? any of the ones that have the banana flavor, we skip those as kids, right? That's what the protein powder tastes like. No matter what you mix it with, you're like, that is something that is synthetic. That is no way that's real, right? But I digress. I started doing the protein shakes again and immediately saw results. And that made me kind of have to go back on the opinion of protein shakes, right? So it was not just caffeine, but protein. And so taking that in, I feel fuller much longer. And then the muscle recovery time is much, much quicker. I don't know if you guys are familiar with delayed onset muscle soreness, DOMS. I like to call it DOMS in the field, right? If that's that soreness that you have after working out. And if you don't replenish what your body needs, it just lasts longer and is more strenuous, more taxing, right? In the worst case scenario, you get sick. The worst case scenario, you get injured, right? So let's avoid that. Just drink your protein, get your protein in. The next thing was working on hydration. And my boy John McGowan, right, his fiance's mom put me on to that liquid IV. And I'm like, oh, this is a good addition. And then I started seeing it everywhere, right? See it at Target, see it at Walgreens, see it at CVS, see it at all these other places. And just thinking out loud, I already know CVS has a deal cut with Target, so every Target has a CVS in it. No one needs to correct me on that one. But once again, another one that I had found was the Pedialyte powder. And the reason why I really dig the Pedialyte powder is because it has the highest form of dextrose as a supplement in it for hydration. And so put that together with protein, it is not a great combination. Kind of tastes like you chewed on a nasty multivitamin, but that's a very, very trivial in terms of the effect that it has for mid-workout replenishment. That intra workout shake and recovery, that has made a world of difference. And I'm already seeing my shoulders get more defined, traps are going up, chest is decreasing, getting tighter. So if you're looking for ways to not only be hydrated but get a little protein in the middle of a workout, I recommend that mix, the Pedialyte and protein powder, in however you want to do your shaker. Oh, and not to mention that it hydrates you too. So it's the best of both worlds of getting the boost for the protein and then also replenishing the vital essentials to strenuous workout. What next? Oh, sleep, rest, and recovery. All right. So this is something that is often frowned upon in Western society. I think we think the most productive people on the planet are those who sleep the less and work when they could be sleeping. And I don't even know how this started, but the results, and actually the tests also prove that people who are more rested have a better output. You know, Spain's onto something with those siestas, right? This is the same thing with any type of workout plan. Your body needs to rest and recover, and muscles only grow when you rest. So you do yourself a disservice when you sleep less and push to the max and then are still working out really hard. You can throw in a couple naps, you're okay. You could add time to sleep. And that actually, you know, easier said than done, but going to bed earlier is often the only micro adjustment that you need. If you're able to sleep in longer, do it. Take advantage of that. But the whole thing that I really stress is having that cycle be regular, having that routine be regular. What's next? The active stretching and dynamic stretching. when you work out and have torn the muscles down in order to build them up again, the thing that aids recovery is stretching them out. It's sort of like when you buy a new pair of jeans and it doesn't have that flex yet, or if you buy new shoes and they fit, but they're still kind of tight, and as your foot molds the shoe. It's the same principle with muscles, right? When you after a hard day working out, when you stretch that muscle group the next day and the day after that, you actually break it in and allow it to be formed to its greatest potential. So if you are not regular with stretching, whether it be the old stretches we used to do in gym class, or something that is more active, you know, goes across different planes. Well, I should say, for people who aren't seeing it, might not have that geometry mindset. The whole thing is there's a certain style of stretching where when you're moving, you're not just in one place, it forces you to balance and then gets your heart rate up a little too, and is a little bit challenging. That we're just for this description, I'm going to say that's the dynamic stretching. It's hitting multiple muscle groups and then firing up your nervous system for the work to be done. The gym class stretches, right? Those are actually, it's been proven better. Those are more effective after the workout or the next day than to just do those stretches beforehand and then start working out. That's where that whole argument comes from. Oh, should you stretch before you work out, or should you stretch after? It actually really depends on what style of stretching you're doing. I think that's a story for another day, though. When it comes to gauging your fitness, this might make or break your your resolution, right? I know, at least for me, it was always feeling like I was an athlete, even when I wasn't training like one, or lifting like one, or eating like one, or sleeping like one. And it was a really hard wake-up call playing rugby and getting schooled, right? Thinking I had the same muscle memory and the mind-muscle connection that I did when I when I was younger, right? So now, if you just get after it and test it, especially after not going to the gym for a long time, you come back to reality and what you're actually able to do. But then that's just a good marker for what you're capable of and where you're going. Just take that as the litmus test before you say, hey, I'm gonna start doing back handsprings and some other wild thing that you might not have ever actually been able to do. Like, this is the very sobering moment of seeing what you're capable of, gauging it, and then working up, developing it. If you have a bunch of aches, I think one of those moments is seeing if it's a necessary ache that comes with the territory, or is it actual pain, and being able to differentiate between the two. I don't think you should ever work out when you're in actual pain, but if it's soreness, that's not the excuse. If you have an injury that was never rehabilitated, I don't think my advice is don't push it. Just do what you're able to handle, but then do a little bit more. Just don't be overzealous and blow a gasket, right? Your intestines are spilling out on the floor and can never be invited back to that gym again, right? That's not a good look for anyone, right? Especially the janitor. So yeah, let's keep everything in proportion and then just work after it. Now we're moving onto the fun part. For anyone listening for the first time ever tuning in to You vs. You, maybe your friend put you on, maybe I put you on, maybe you got you saw rave reviews on Spotify and said, I need to check out this Dave Woods guy. What's Imago Dei? Let's check that out too. Here's a little crash course. Episode one is the pilot episode where I give you a brief but detailed testimony on how I lost 100 pounds. It's the story of what I did, what I wish I had known beforehand, why I did it, and how you can do it too. And it really just came down to the motivation and making small micro adjustments along the way, naming that goal, writing it down, and then saying, okay, it starts today, not tomorrow, not a year from now, it starts today. And then just getting in that pattern of doing it. One of the things that you could do, actually, you know, whenever someone listens to this podcast for the first time, I always tell them, go to the first episode first before going anywhere else. But the whole thing that you got to do is you got to take inventory of where you're at and then where you want to be and how do you get there? What's that path to get there? What do you want? You need to define that want. What does it take to get to that place? What can I do realistically in these current circumstances that you find yourself in? When you ask yourself those three basic questions, it puts everything in perspective on how you spend your time, what you focus on, and then what's important. And over time, you get some huge results from that. I knew it was a Herculean task to lose 100 pounds, and given the situation that I was in, I estimated that it would take about 4 years, and 25 pounds a year is manageable if you are now becoming a regular at the gym or have an atmosphere of fitness or accountability buddy or someone that you work out with or some extracurricular, some work-related group that is no longer at work and doing stuff. Like if you're part of a team, that puts it into a tighter habit because it's something that's communal. It's something that you have people that you like or at least you're familiar with, and they're all working towards something in that same realm of fitness. Another question you can ask yourself is, why am I doing this? I know what my why is. Baby girl, I love you, baby girl. This is for you. So one of the things I'd said is I don't want to be the fat dad, right? I don't want to be the dad that is not able to keep up with the growth of my child. And so that was the kick in the pants to move forward and really, really lock it up. Really be focused on the journey and define the journey and then embark on that journey. Another question to ask yourself, no matter what age you are, is say, what do I want to look like when I'm 40 years old? If you're a high school student right now, say, what do you want to look like when you're 21? Okay, what about when you're 30? Oh, what about when you're 40? Okay, what about when you're 50? How about when you're 60? If you close your eyes and visualize what that could look like, it might be something that makes the burden of going to the gym or being active less of a hurdle, right? If you look at your parents, that might be a good indicator of where you might be when you're that age. Go back from that saying, do you want to look like that? Because they're closer in the genetic makeup to what you have going for you than anything else. Right? If you have a predisposition to diabetes, there's no reason why you can't break that cycle and work on it now, right? I'm not a doctor in this area, but I do know how insulin and carbohydrates work. So it might be a moment where eating like everyone else is going to get you way worse results and have way starker consequences for doing that, for neglecting your health. So this is a moment where you just look around your family, realize that you're part of that same tribe. So you're gonna have that same those same variables impact you. And the younger you are, that's the more you have the energy and the space and the freedom to work on it now. And it only gets harder the older you get. So the moment of looking at, for me at the time, was around 31, 32 years old. I said, what, I don't want to be this size when I'm 60, what I'm able to do now. And here I am 100 pounds lighter. And now it's a different set of, I should say, it's, the ambition is different. The drive is different. And it's much easier now to do these things. Right? It's no longer a Sisyphean task. Episode 2 is called How Did You Do It? And that one goes even deeper into the backstory and some of those wake up moments. And that's one of those things I'm going to be really vigilant about, is having a lot of anecdotal stories that, you know, that I've actually lived through, and not just getting from billboards or pithy expressions or something I saw online. This is going to be some things that I actually lived and went through. And it's also great having guests on the show who can spice things up in the interview, or I should say in the just in the podcast overall. So episode 2, it goes more into the backstory and gives really deep details on how I lost 100 pounds. This is the whole process. If you are new, I know it can be overwhelming. So I'm giving you the background for what I did and how you also can hit that goal. I'm really hoping one day to meet someone who wants to lose more than 100 pounds and is saying, yo, I don't even know where to begin. I heard you lost 100 pounds. What should I do? And I'll be able to coach them through. I'd actually say, listen to episodes 1 through 11, and then we'll talk. But yeah, this would be, I'm all about that walking with the person, not just doling out advice. Episode 2 also goes into the understanding and implications of what that dream or that vision looks like, because your goal is going to cost you. The bigger, it's almost a principle. The bigger the goal is, the bigger the sacrifice that you have to make. You better get used to saying no. The thing that I realized after dropping 100 pounds was that's the new standard of fitness for me. And that doesn't apply to everyone. Like, there's some people I know who dream of being 235 because they're 135 pounds and want as much muscle as they can. That's a different set of genetics, different set of variables that needs to be tailor fit to your circumstances. So for me, my standard used to be 335, but now it's dropped 100 and has become expansive in terms of flexibility, strength, and just opportunity to do things that were not physically possible, or I should say would cause huge strain if I tried to do as someone who's 335 pounds. A little tangent. Did you see Shaq's transformation? So there's a little sidebar here. I guess a double sidebar. For if someone is trying to be a personal trainer, a great demographic would be pro athletes that retired or priests and religious, right? Those are, I feel like, the two biggest demographics for people who get out of shape real fast and then are almost unrecognizable after a couple of years. You're like, yo, like, we need you. We need you for sports. We need you for life. We need you for commentary. We need you for advice. We need you. Well, it's a little bit different if they're a priest or religious, because it's very obvious that that's a really important role for the church, but the principle is still there. Like, okay, there's the time that these two demographics have are not like the time that we have. So, yeah, go check out Shaquille O'Neal's body transformation. He peaked at 400 and some pounds after he retired, and then started powerlifting and dropped, I think, 75 pounds already. And he looks like an action hero. Like, he actually looks like an action figure, right? Maybe there could be a Steel part two, huh? All right. The key takeaways for episode two were to write the vision out, actually write it down, not just say it, not just tell your friend, but to write it down and go over it. Go over it in the morning, go over it at night. It becomes something that is like a compass for how you conduct yourself, things you take in, things you don't take in, things you do, things you don't do. The second key to success was to fall in love with that process. The journey, the packing your bag for the gym, the meal prepping, the workout itself, just falling in love with that, and then not looking back. Episode three is all about that resolve. You got to set your face like flint. You got to know that routine and then what to do to stay motivated. I'm not going to go into great lengths because I'm trying to keep this under an hour, but it's the how to, what's the thing that motivates you and how to grow in that discipline. One of those things was having the mindset of saying training, not working out. Episode four about the food formula. The calories in must be less than the calories out. Burn more calories than the calories you eat. Key takeaway there was to show mercy to yourself and then get back to the routine, especially if you fall off, especially if there's, you know, a wedding, a season of weddings and birthdays and celebrations that are mandatory or actually obligatory to attend, and then it's impacting your workout. Just remember, you're showing yourself mercy, and then when you get back to your equilibrium, get back in that routine and don't look back. I went in a deep depth on the story of David Goggins, Navy SEAL, Black Navy SEAL, who is a huge fitness motivator and influencer right now. If you typed in DAVID in Google search, immediately top hit would be Goggins would come up next. Look him up, look at his YouTube stuff. But then if you want to go deeper, read his book Can't Hurt Me, or I'd start with that one and then go to Never Finished. I don't even know where to begin on this one, so I'll just let your curiosity run wild, let your imagination go off, and then when you hear about this guy or witness some of the things that you do, you'll understand why he's a living legend. Another thing was to beware of the pseudo plateau. That's the phenomenon that happens with recomposition, body recomp, as we like to say, where it either looks like you didn't lose weight or you start to gain weight. Give it some time. Give it like a week or two, and you'll see how your body adjusts, and then the losing of the fat still happened, but gaining of the muscle happened at the same time. So you can't always trust what you see on the scale. Just be patient and then watch what happens, especially if you've been disciplined and focused and have that routine set in stone. The keys to success for that are all about the small steps. Right? Take 10-minute walks after meals. Be cognizant of calories and where you're consuming them. One of those moments was realizing that I was drinking a lot of calories. Shakes, smoothies, sodas, juices, all of that, they're not all created equal. And I don't want to have a hard and fast rule where it's like, oh, the more delicious the drink is, the higher the calories are. But there's a little bit of truth to that. So the thing that I gave as an alternative was the tealess tea tonic. It's just hot water, a pinch of pink salt, some fresh lemon, a touch of honey. Does the job, and you get a little bit of hydration in there. Episode 5 are all about the benefits of recording your stats. Exercises, reps, weight, cardio, time spent, how it felt, and a little bit of a weigh-in. This, over time, shows you the journey and then is a self-motivator. When you see where you've been and what you did, even if it's just the past 8 weeks, it should add some fuel to the fire to keep going. If you had set that goal and didn't hit it, but then reviewed what you did go through, that is enough to say, all right, I'm going to take 2 days off. I'm going to recalibrate and then I'm going to try again. And then you'll see how you hit it. You'll see how you get it. And one of the times, next time I do a video podcast, I'll show you what that looks like drawn out. I'm old school like that to not have an app for that. I know there's a ton out there for it, but when you draw it out and you visualize it, it's the same thing. It really comes down to preference. As long as you're recording it and you can see the arrow going down towards hitting your goal, I guess you can also go up if you're an optimist. But in terms of weight, I like to always make that arrow go down. I go into the rugby backstory and setting a new standard of eating and working out. This is really that wake up call and the call to adventure in the film industry talk, right? In that lingo, this is that setting a new standard, then training after it, and then working towards it and being forever changed by it. And when you get there, how to maintain, right? The key to success that I had in this was having the snack hack. It's making your own cereal, right? It's not as intense as, you know, I got to go out there, grow the wheat and harvest it. No. I mean, find a couple cereals that you like, get all the healthy versions, but then have one that might cater to your sweet tooth, but then you mix it in so it doesn't break the parameters of your caloric intake or throw off your macros, and have that in between meals. That's such a fabulous alternative, and I swear by it. So when we talk to the rapper Fabolous, I'm sure he'd vouch for it. Cool. Episode 6. I walk you through an average day of what the process looks like for me for downing 100 pounds, like getting rid of it, 86ing it. This is the moment where I really said, this is how you got to say no. This is what you got to do. These are the traps to avoid while fitness is your main priority. And then reminding yourself of your resolve and your goal. Episode 7 is failure versus recalibration. And it just as simply as learning the lesson that failure is only a loss if you didn't learn something. If you didn't hit your goal, examine your path, look at your journey, reestablish the routine, and start the clock again. Episode 8 and 9 is part 1 and part 2 of Bulletproofing Your Holidays. In episode 1, I have a special guest, Ida Champs, aka Miss Mongolia 2021. She's a trip. She's got such a fascinating story. So we go into that straight from the horse's mouth. You get her background and Alicia and her talk skin products and holiday gifts. And deeper into the episode, I give quick points on what to look out for during the holidays if you've set your face like flint to do this whole journey of losing weight. The part 2 goes really deep, goes really in depth into the nitty gritty of training during the holidays. I gave some alternatives of doing the OMAD, sprint training, navigating the holiday gatherings, and what I've learned from the trauma from the past. So if you're curious about some of those not so pretty parts of what made me who I am today, episode 9's the one to listen to. Grab your popcorn. Make sure you got some delicious butter, some extra salt on there, because this is going to be entertaining. Episode 10 is all on that hyper-focus. What's it mean to be, what's it mean to have a game plan? And this is, I guess, brings us full circle to New Year's resolutions. This is a moment where when I quieted myself and sought silence in my preferred place was adoration, in the presence of Jesus in a chapel where it actually says quiet, no talking, you're not allowed to talk here. That's the area, the sacred space where I can hear my own thoughts and then, you know, maybe hear from God too. But it's a moment where everything gets quiet, and then I equate it to Superman's Fortress of Solitude. Get that silence, and then you can straighten everything out. The next key is deconstruction. Deconstruction is seeing what you're working with, imagining the vision of who you want to become, breaking those bad habits, whittling away at those imperfections, and then creating that new version of yourself. And that is really the theme of this podcast. When I say you versus you, really mean it. But it's the old self, your old version of who you used to be, with the new version of who you are right now. That's what that you versus you is. And this is something that I can't stop hanging my hat on, can't stop harping on. I'll beat this drum till the day I die. It's those two are always going to be in conflict with each other. The bad habits they're just waiting for you to do. And when you start indulging in them, will turn the new man into the old man. So I say that's the only area where I say death to self, right? That's, you need to kill that version of yourself and then stick with who you've become and only go higher. Only evolve, work on that metamorphosis. And yeah, that's that in a nutshell. If you have any questions, leave a comment, share this with someone, like it, subscribe, follow, click that bell, do it all. And we have a ton of things to look forward to this year. Lining up guests as we speak. We have some more angles for what to do in the gym, what to do when there's no gym, how to eat, things that I'm really digging in terms of certain meal prep styles. But you will see that soon. As always, these are the things that work for me. I can only hand you the key. You got to unlock that door and walk through it yourself. This is your host, Dave Woods, wrapping episode 11 of You Versus You.